Hi everyone, it's Judy. Welcome back to the On Track podcast. Today we're joined again by our dear friend and signal integrity expert, Dr. Eric Bogatin. Eric and I talk about the upcoming Design Con that will be held in Santa Clara, California, January 28th through the 30th. Eric will talk about the presentations he's giving, plus what's going on the show. And don't worry if you're not able to make it, because we share a whole plethora of information from Signal Integrity Academy, which is a website where you can grab lots of great information. Enjoy. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media. Well, welcome back to the On Track podcast. I'm sure you all will recognize my friend and well-respected industry expert, Eric Bogatin. But look at his new hat. Rule number 9. If you have listened to our podcast in the past, you will know what number 9 means. But Eric, for those who did miss those episodes, tell us what number 9 means.
So, when I do presentations, and especially when I teach classes, I always tell my students that one of the most important rules in engineering is never do a measurement or simulation without first anticipating the result. And so that's rule number 9, is to think about what you expect to see before you push the simulate button or the run button, so you have something to compare the result to. It's a really important consistency test. And so I got these hats made up to give out to my students in my class when they get their first board successfully fabbed, assembled, debugged, and working, and they boot it up and it's working. They all get a rule number 9 hat as an incentive. And I have students that are in the lab until 11 at night trying to get their board booted, because they all want to get one of these rule number 9 hats.
That's a good motivator. Yeah. By the way, it was so fun meeting some of your students at Altium Live. Those kids, I hung out with them quite a bit, and what great kids, and they were so much fun, and they even made it in our recap video. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. They were very excited about being able to come out to your conference.
Well, hopefully.
So thank you for helping to support them as well.
Yeah, my pleasure. Hopefully they learned a lot and went back with full mind. So, it is just weeks away from DesignCon, so I wanted to have you in. I know that that's a show for you every year that you speak at that conference and are very involved in. So I wanted to let our listeners know what you've got going at DesignCon this year. And why don't we start out talking about just maybe your history with DesignCon? I think you've been going there for years, right?
I was actually one of the first attendees or presenters before DesignCon was DesignCon. It was the at the time the Hewlett-Packard High Speed Digital Symposium.
Wow.
And it was started by Dave Blandy at HP as marketing guy, and he pulled a bunch of us together to put together presentations on. It really was application stories of how instrument or simulation was used to solve signal integrity problems. And I still remember going around, so I put a presentation together about measuring the electrical properties of integrated circuit packages using an impedance analyzer. And I remember going around, and he literally took the talks around the world. We went to Japan, we went to the UK, we did a bunch of stops in the US, did stops in Europe. And it was before the days when the term signal integrity was very popular. We had to explain what signal integrity was. Nobody was using, or very few of the attendees were using that term. So that's where I started out a long time ago, and then HP kind of sold the show to, I guess maybe IEC, and then UBM, and now I'm not sure what the name, Naomi Price's name is now. But it's grown up for all these years, and I have attended, I think, every year, and usually presented and done either technical sessions, or in the last about 15 years, they've introduced the speed training events in the Chiphead Theater, and I think that's really my favorite part of DesignCon.
So, what are the speed training?
So yeah, it was about 15 years ago when I can't remember who might have suggested it, but the idea is the show floor is huge. A lot of companies
Huge.
exhibiting there, and there are usually lots of big crowds. And of course, it's open to anybody. You don't need a conference pass to attend the show. And the organizers wanted to add a little bit more value on the show floor. And so they said, hey, let's take an area of the show floor, we'll put chairs there and a little stage, and then we'll have folks come up. And the idea is real it'd be short, concise presentations, single concept kind of presentations, and something that'll be kind of fun and informal. And so I think when they talked to me about it, I suggested the idea of speed training, that we do one topic really fast and show a lot of demos and make it very informal. And so I started doing them, 15 years ago, and I try to take one of the more interesting topics from either one of the classes I was doing or puzzles that I had encountered and engineers had come to me with, or there were little teasers. And so I've done at least one, sometimes two of these for the last 15 years. And about 5 or 6 years ago, DesignCon introduced the Ask the Experts panel, and we do that. We do that at in the Chiphead Theater as a speed training event as well. And this year, coming up in January 2020, I'm going to be doing a well, we really call it Stump the Experts panel, because that's usually what it comes out to. So I was able to arm twist a number of my industry colleagues to join us, and so I know there's going to be Steve Sandler's going to be on it, and Istvan Novak, Larry Smith. So we're going to have basically three of the world's experts in power integrity on the stage at one time. So collectively, we did an estimate, we're going to have like 150, 200 man years of expertise in signal integrity and power integrity on this panel.
Wild.
So if collectively we all don't know the answer, I'm not sure it really exists out there. So
That's
we're
fun.
Yeah, so I'm not sure when it's scheduled. I think it's Wednesday, maybe. So we're looking for folks to come join us in the audience and come with your questions. Come with a question that's bugged you for a while, or that you think is a really interesting question, and see if the panel can answer it. Kind of stump the experts there. So
That's fun.
that's going to be one of, and it's really the other aspect of it is it's a panel of some of the folks on the editorial advisory board of the Signal Integrity Journal. So it's really a Signal Integrity Journal on display kind of panel,
Oh, that's
kind of just
neat.
to illustrate the expertise that we have on our panel.
Oh my gosh. And the editorial staff for Signal Integrity Journal is really, really good. I think I've, for our listeners, I think I've mentioned that before, but if you don't have that and you have anything to do with Signal Integrity, I highly recommend that magazine. I'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, that would be great. In fact, we have our, we come out with everything's online, and we do, weekly kind of flyers of here's the table of contents, but every 6 months we come out with a print version as well. And this will be our 3rd year doing print versions. We're going to distribute this one at DesignCon,
Oh, nice.
and I have a cover article on it. This
Nice.
is I worked again with my buddies Sandler, Steve Sandler, and Larry Smith, and we wrote an article about the myth of three capacitor values. And if you look on almost every design out there for decoupling capacitors, 90% of them say use three different values: a 10 microfarad, a 1 microfarad, a 0.1 microfarad. And so we did a little investigation of where that design rule came from, and it turns out it's legacy. It's from 50 years ago that doesn't apply today. And
Wow.
so the cover article is about the myth of three capacitor values, and we go through the details of what the legend is and why it doesn't make any sense anymore, and how to do the right analysis.
That's kind of cool. So, it's like a Mythbuster article.
It is, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, isn't it funny how some of those things stick around just because
yes.
it was always there?
Yes.
And then one person picks up another person. We just follow each other, right?
So. Yeah. And that's – it's a cultural issue which we tried to address in this article because you're absolutely right. It's this is not just one mm-hmm. One-up problem. It is a generic problem in our industry. And so we tried to address why is it a generic problem and how do we deal with that? And we use the myth of three capacitor values as kind of the focus in this article. So I think it's a great article. I'm really excited with it. And I hope everybody picks up their copy of Signal Integrity Journal and takes a look at that article.
I will definitely put that in the show notes so they don't have to go hunting for it. But again, for our listeners, I highly suggest that you subscribe to it, which I think you can do online for the digital version, and then you can subscribe if you want to the print edition that just comes out a few times a year. So
right, yeah.
It's a
keeper. If you go to signalintegritygernal.com, you can sign up and get a print version sent to you, or the PDF version of it at least.
Okay.
And the other thing that we're doing at the journal at DesignCon is there's another feature article that Jay Diepenbrock has written on standards for the communication standards, the PCI Express, USB, SATA, SAS. You know, there's a whole alphabet soup of standards out there.
Yeah, there
and
is.
He did a great review article about what's used where and why, what are the properties of them. And so as part of a spin-off of that article, which I think that's also in the print version, mm-hmm. might have been in last print version. Yeah, I think it was in the July issue.
Okay.
As a spin-off, the SI Journal is doing a panel talking about standards. You know, why do we have so many these are communication standards.
Yes, communication standards, right.
Digital communication. Why do we have so many of them, and is there going to be a consolidation, and which are the good ones, which are not the good ones? And so, again, an open panel that if you deal at all with high-speed serial links, this will be a great panel to attend to kind of see industry expert opinions about the selection and use of the different high-speed serial link standards.
Interesting. I want to read that article. You know, Lee Ritchie kind of inducted me into that world. I didn't know much about communication standards, and he, you know, drinking from the fire hose because he's just whipping these things, you know. And so, I learned quite a lot from him, but I feel like there's so much more I can learn. I feel like that's deep waters there. Also, for our listeners, DesignCon, so you know, if you don't know already, is in Santa Clara, California. It's the last week of July. Eric, do you know the dates? I didn't write those down. I think it's the 29th.
Yeah, see, the 28th is a Tuesday,
uh-huh.
and that's when there are tutorials. And the show and the technical sessions are Wednesday the 29th and Thursday the 30th
okay.
of January.
Okay, perfect. So there's the dates for you, and you can easily look up designcon.com, I think, and check it out. And the proceedings are only available to the attendees, right, or the paid conference attendees, right? So
right.
Okay.
Right.
So if you don't go, you snooze, you lose. So anyways, it's a great show. What will you be teaching? Besides the speed, I want to see speed dating.
Training. Yeah, speed dating. Well, actually, there's a not quite speed dating, but there is a program.
Speed networking.
Speed networking, yes.
Yeah.
Specifically for either students or young engineers to get some coaching about how to find a job and career planning. I think Suzanne DeFree is coordinating that. I apologize. I don't know when in the schedule.
I'll find it and I'll throw it. I'll throw it
in
the notes. Okay.
Yeah. So that's a really great one for young engineers.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to us great graybeards out there that have been doing this for a long time, and we'll give you some pointers about recommendations of how to find a job, how to write a resume, what's important to look for in a job. And I think there'll be three or four of us that'll be offering our opinions about this. So that's another one of the – I think it is also in the Chiphead Theater.
Okay.
And then there's individual networking and coaching sessions following that.
That's great. That's really
Yeah,
valuable.
so
What
it
a
is
good
kind of
idea.
speed networking
I'm sure
in a
that
way.
was the play off the word, I think, when they came up
Yeah.
with the speed networking. But the speed training you're doing, the panel
Yeah.
you're doing, are you
So
doing
let's
any
see.
other talks?
Yeah, so I actually have two other speed training events. So what I like about the speed training in the Chipet Theater is it's very informal. I'm competing against all the other exhibits that are around there,
Right.
and it's open, so anybody can come and go.
Right.
And so I take it as a personal challenge to try to be exciting enough to grab folks from walking down the corridors of the other booths, to grab them to come over and to not let them go, because they're so excited with what I'm doing. And so I kind of pull a Ron Popeil. I don't know, you might remember Ron Popeil. So if you used to watch TV at like 2 in the morning, and you're surfing through channels, you'll see these infomercials with Ron Popeil. He passed away about 4 or 5 years ago, but when he was alive, he would do these infomercials where he would show you
The ShamWow? Was he the
the
ShamWow
sham
guy?
no, that was the Australian guy. He
Okay.
did the Pocket Fisherman.
Okay.
Ron Popeil did the rotisserie grill. He did the air fryer. And for the rotisserie grill, he had a tagline, and he would say, "Set it and forget it." And what he was selling was not this rotisserie grill, but
Right.
it was the most succulent duck you've ever had, or it was the most juicy and perfectly done leg of lamb that you've ever had. So he was selling the sizzle,
Right.
the aroma and the sense of it. And then showing you how effortless it was to get it using this tool, this product he was selling. And so that's kind of the approach I take in my speed training. I show the solution to some interesting problems, the solution to some of these interesting problems, some new insight that you didn't know was really the root cause of the problem. So you walk away with something, a new kernel, and I illustrate it using either a simulation tool or a measurement tool. And so I always like to show a lot of demos, live demos in there, kind of channeling Ron Popeil. And
Okay. How long are they? How long are the speed session?
45 minutes.
Okay. Is
So
that where you came up with the learning the TDR in 45 minutes? Was that
yeah,
originally a one of your?
that and also webinars are usually 45 minutes, so it's that you get that narrow window there. And this time I'm going to do one. Speaking of TDR, one of my speed trainings is on. I think the title is "So You Think You Understand What a TDR Measures," and the idea is that, we use TDR for measuring the impedance profile of interconnects, but it does more than that, and you have to be a little careful. You have to know a little bit about what's going on under the hood inside the TDR in order to understand and interpret the results, because there's some potential artifacts that come along. And so I'm going to show some examples of, first I'm going to sucker everybody in with some really simple examples of, here are different impedance profiles, and here's what you expect to see, and yeah, you see what you see. And then I'm going to show some odd behaviors that are real puzzles unless you understand what goes on inside the TDR. And so it's going to be, kind of, it's always, I try to be entertaining, and I try to have folks walk away with some new insight of understanding that they can apply to other problems. So I'm
Excellent.
going to do that to the TDR. It'll be a fun time. And then the other one I'm going to do is about kind of S-parameter measurements of differential pairs which don't have return paths. So it's like twisted pair, unshielded twisted pair. How do you think about the differential impedance, and what's the impact of not having a plane anywhere? You just have a couple of wires. How is that a differential pair? So we're going to talk about what do you do when you don't have a return path? How do you think about the differential pair? And I'm going to show again some live measurements using a network analyzer, our WavePulsar 40iX, that will generate the S parameters. We'll look at the differential signals and common signals as well for a number of different structures. So those will be two kind of really more demo than lecture. showing off some unusual, interesting effects and the underlying mechanism about them. So that's speed training. So it'll be a lot of
Okay.
fun. And it's the kind of thing that you just kind of show up. I get standing room crowds all around there, and just participate in the demonstration. And I throw out chocolate to people that answer questions for
It's
me.
my favorite thing about you, Eric, is the throwing of chocolate. I feel like Pavlov's dog. Like, surely I have to know something. I
There you
want
go.
some chocolate. But it does keep everybody awake and motivated. So
It's a lot of fun.
it is fun. There is, again, I'll share the link below for our listeners. And if you're not able to go, I didn't want to just tease you and go, oh, well, too bad you can't go. But also turn you on to some other resources that you can take advantage of if you're not available to travel to Santa Clara. And that is a really rich site that is Signal Integrity Academy, which is hosted by Teledyne LaCroix, in which Eric has boatloads of training. So can you tell us a little bit about sort of what the features of that website are and what kind of content designers could look forward to finding there?
Sure. Yeah. So I used to travel around the world and do live training workshops on, mostly best design practices for signal integrity and power integrity. And we recorded those classes that I would do, parsed them up into small little lessons, and posted it all on a web portal. So it's all streaming video, combining. Gosh, added a bunch of other lectures since then, and I think there's about 180, almost 200 hours of video on lectures that I've done and courses on signal integrity, power integrity design. And in the last 5 years, I've been working very closely with my buddies at Teledyne LaCroix, and we've been focusing on best measurement practices. And so I've taken some common engineering kind of problems and circuit boards and structures where you want to measure some quality of it, some feature, and then putting together presentations about how do you go about measuring them, how do you avoid the artifacts, how do you get a measurement and interpret the results and do consistency tests. And so I illustrate what I think are, I think there are four really important principles of best measurement practice. Rule number 9, of course, is one of them.
Rule number 9.
Because when you're doing a measurement, you want to think about what you expect to see before you do it. I cover what I call situational awareness, which is about thinking about what is the instrument really measuring. And that's this idea of the TDR, how do you interpret the result? You have to know what the instrument's really measuring to know how to interpret them. And same thing with scopes and any measurement. So we've got a bunch of content on the SI Academy website about not only best design practices, but also best measurement practices. And in the last 2 or 3 years, I've been doing a bunch of webinars specifically on measurement practices. And we've recorded all of those, and links to those webinars are all on the homepage on the Signal Integrity Academy. And all you have to do, you can go to the homepage, you can type in bethesignal.com, so it's a little shortened URL. And on the homepage on the left-hand side, we have a list of all the webinars that I've done in the last couple years. They're all free. You just click on them and you go to a page that'll get you the landing page to view the webinar and download the slides as well. So we got a lot of content up there, and it's growing all the time as I do more presentations.
Yeah, the reason I rang you up just before the holidays is because I saw you had, I think it's a 6-part series on TDR, is that right?
Yeah, so we've come out with a new TDR unit that
Okay.
is, I've used a bunch of TDRs over the years, but this I have to say is a really slick TDR. It's really, really simple, easy to use, nice interface to it, has really low cost, and most importantly, it's really insensitive to ESD. ESD is the killer for most TDRs because of the little switching diode that's on the inside. And this one has a great feature to make it really robust. So you have to work really hard to blow out the front end. So it's a very, very good stable instrument. And we came up with, I was originally asked, oh, do a webinar on using a TDR. And I realized that, Yeah, I can introduce what a TDR does, but there are so many things it can do. I just can't fit it all in one webinar. And so I sat down and made a list of here are all the different things I want to show off about TDR and came up to six webinars. So we've got a series of six of those. I'm doing, let's see, I think we've done the first three or four. I've got a few more coming up, two more coming up. We have another whole series on our network analyzer instrument, the WavePulsar 40iX. It generates S parameters and shows you TDR responses. It's up to 40 gigahertz. It's four port. And again, very simple, easy to use user interface, which is kind of unique in the network analyzer world. And again, they asked me, yeah, do a webinar on this. And I said, I can't fit everything in one webinar. There's so much to talk about. So we have another six webinars in that series. And we're just doing the fourth, I think, in this series. January 15th is the fourth one. But all of them have been recorded. So that's season one is the six episodes of the TDR and the six episodes of the WavePulsar. They're all recorded, and so if someone wants to binge watch, there's we'll send you some popcorn and chocolates if you want to binge watch them all.
Nice, nice. There
So
we
there's
go.
a lot available on the Be the Signal website.
Okay, so there you go. So don't
And it's all
worry if you
free.
can't go to DesignCon because Eric's been teaching for years and it's all free, which I love. So I'm going to definitely put that in the notes for you guys so you can go watch
Great,
that if
thanks.
you can't travel. Eric, what else, as you look ahead to the next few months, what kind of things will you be working on? I always say there's no grass grown under your feet. I mean, between your teaching your students at CU Boulder, teaching your classes online, teaching at conferences. I don't know, how you keep up with your schedule, but just for our listeners, are there any places out that you're going to be teaching, or any more content you're going to be putting out, or anything you would recommend?
Well, see, I got a couple things in the works. I hope by DesignCon, I don't think it'll be released, but it'll at least be with the publisher. I've got a new book that I've been working on with Arctech House,
Oh,
a
you're
new publisher for me.
okay, good.
They're kind of a cousin because I'm the technical editor of Signal Integrity Journal, and our two publications are owned by Horizon House, so we're kind of cousins, I guess. And so I've got a new book on transmission lines, and it's really kind of setting the foundation for how to think about transmission lines and impedance, and how to design the stack up and interpret TDR, single-ended and differential transmission lines. So I'm actively trying to finish that up right now to get that to the publisher. That'll be out in the next month or so. And then with in addition to the lectures I've been doing on best measurement practices with scopes, we've got the TDR series and the WavePulsar series, and we've come out with a new scope, Teledyne LaCroix. It's really a low-end scope, but it's a high-performance low-end scope. It's a very low-cost instrument. It's 12-bit vertical resolution, and we have some at up from 200 megahertz to a gigahertz bandwidth. So it's in kind of the sweet spot of where a lot of applications are. And I've started to look at how do we get the most value out of it? How do we use it in a way that we can get as much information as we can out of a measurement? And so one of the presentations I've been doing at DesignCon is, you buy the scope because you don't want to spend a lot of money. And so you want to be able to keep your costs down when you're doing measurements. And so I've been looking at how to do signal integrity and power integrity measurements on a budget. What are some of the tricks that we can do to minimize the additional costs and to really take advantage of all the power and performance in, we call it this low-end scope, but it's still an incredibly powerful instrument. So that's the new content that I've been creating and working on, which we're going to preview at DesignCon in our all-day tutorial session at, which again is all free. All the tutorial sessions are free at DesignCon. So we'll preview that, and I'm going to take that on the road. We're planning some public seminars around the country in the Boston area, in Austin, of course in San Jose Bay Area, other big cities around the country. And one of the presentations I'll be showing off is some of the tricks to do signal and power integrity measurements on a budget, and how to get the most out of your high performance but low cost scope.
That sounds like a very compelling topic. That's a good one.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I've been playing the first time I've had a chance to play with our new scope, and for this price, the performance is really amazing, and it's got a lot of, I wouldn't say hidden features, but features that you don't usually see on low-end scopes that really dramatically open up what you can do with measurements.
Very cool. Lastly, I wanted to say that I will throw, Eric did two talks at Altium Live. One was learning the TDR in 45 minutes. We have that on video recording, and I will put that in the show notes. And he also did a keynote called Breaking Bad, my favorite title ever. Hey, did you, where's your t-shirt, Eric?
Oh darn! I should, you know what? I should have worn that
Next time,
for
next
the in
time.
interview. Okay.
I will put both those presentations in the show notes below. And also, speaking of resources, all of the Altium Live talks that were videotaped are online on Altium's YouTube channel. So feel free to go there and hop around and see if there's some interesting content for you there as well. So happy New Year to you, Eric, and happy New Year to our listeners. I hope that all this content will keep you growing and get you started out right for the new year. We look forward to being with you next time. Remember to like, subscribe, and tell us what you want to learn about. And we'll see you next time. Until then, remember to always stay on track.